Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 32, text number 27.
Etavaneva yogena
samagreneha yoginaha yujyate
dhimato hi arto
yat asangasto krishna krishna etavan eva yogena samagreneha yoginaha yujyate dhimato hi arto which can be achieved by different kinds of yoga. Please repeat after me. The greatest common understanding for all yogis, is complete detachment from matter. Which can be achieved by different kinds of yoga. There are three kinds of yoga, namely Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Ashtanga Yoga. Devotees, Jnanis, and Yogis all try to get out of the material entanglement. The Jnanis try to detach their sensual activities from material engagement. The Jnana Yogi thinks that matter is false and that Brahman is truth. He tries, therefore, by cultivation of knowledge, to detach the senses from material enjoyment. The Ashtanga Yogis also try to control their senses. The devotees, however, try to engage the senses in the service of the Lord. Therefore, it appears that the activities of the bhaktas, devotees, are better than those of the jnanis and yogis. The mystic yogis simply try to control the senses by practicing the 8 divisions of yoga, yam, niyam, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, etc. And the jnanis try by mental reasoning to understand that sense enjoyment is false. But the easiest and most direct process is to engage the senses in the service of the Lord. The purpose of all yoga is to detach one's sense activities from this material world. The final aim, however, are different. Jnanis want to become one with the Brahman effulgence, yogis want to realize Paramatma, and devotees want to develop Krishna consciousness and transcendental loving service to the Lord. That loving service is the perfect stage of sense control. The senses are actually active symptoms of life and they cannot be stopped. They can be detached only if there is superior engagement, as it is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Param Drishtva Nivartate. The activities of these senses can be stopped if they are given superior engagements. The supreme engagement is engagement of senses in the service of the Lord. That is the purpose of all yoga. Om Gyan Vimunasya Gnanjana Shumarpaya Chakshurunmitamena Tasmai Shri Guru Vyam Shri Chaitanyamano Vishtam Sthapitamena Bhutale Svandubhakaram Nandatati Svapadamitam Vanchana Guru Vyashtat Vahasindhu Vyashtatakalam Bhavnidhyo Vishnu Vyam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Guru Vyadha Shri Vashti Gaurav Vyashtarinda
Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I seek all of assembled devotees' blessings. It's been a while. I sat down on the asana and tried to glorify the Lord. I always feel I'm not qualified and not good enough to do this service. The reason being I haven't studied Srimad Bhagavatam so much, like all of you devotees have. So please bless me. I can glorify our Lordships for their pleasure and purification of myself. Here in this part, Lord Kapil is concluding his teachings. In previous few verses, he has already concluded that Bhakti Yoga is topmost compared to all other yoga processes. And he is again going through summary. And here in this section, especially, he is bringing again the same points he already taught to Mother Devaputi, that Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Karma Yoga, they all are inferior to Bhakti Yoga. How much is Bhakti Yoga? In the purport, we see, and even in translation, that the common thing, common understanding between all the yogis is complete detachment from matter, from material world. Everyone, all the yogis want to be detached from material world. So the yogis are, they also want to be detached from material world. But that's not all in all. That's not our purpose. Why we want to become detached from material world? Srila Prabhupada mentioned that, you know, and throughout his Bhagavad and all the other books, you know, we'll see Srila Prabhupada mentions purpose of devotee is to please Krishna. All they want to do is please Krishna. So it doesn't matter whether they are in material world or they are in spiritual world. All they want to do is please Krishna and his devotees. So they can be in this material world. They can live in this material world. But same time, they don't want to be entangled in the material world. So that's why Prabhupada here writes that devotees, jnanis and yogis all try to get out of material entanglement. So devotees may or may not live in this material world, but whatever the case is, they are never entangled in the material world, neither they want to. Whereas these yogis and jnanis, their highest purpose is to just get out of this entanglement of the material world, and that's it. Be liberated. But Prabhupada mentioned that's not the highest, there is something more. than that. So we little bit revise what these yogas and what they're practicing, practices are, yogis and what their practices are. Jnana Yoga, and here interestingly, Srila Prabhupada doesn't mention even about Karma Yogis. He just mentioned about the Jnana Yogi and Ashtanga Yogi and Bhakti Yogis. But he didn't mention about Karma Yogis. Why? Yes, exactly. You know, so, Karma Yogis, you know, they want to be in this material world and enjoy. You know, they want to try to find out the ways by which they can avoid simple activities and, you know, accumulate some piety, and by that, you know, they can remain in this material world peacefully and happy. So that's not the purpose. You know, that's the real purpose. But Karma Yogis are doing that. That's why Prabhupada didn't even bother to mention about them. When it comes to the detachment from the material world, he just mentioned about three other yogis, not the Karma Yogis. So this Jnana Yogi is his aim is to understand what this material world is and who am I and what is my relationship between this material world and how this material world, these three modes of nature and everything else in the material world binds me and how that brings suffering to me. And by studying Shastra, he tried to detach himself from those things and wants to get liberated so he doesn't have to suffer in this world. So that's his process. Study, analyze, and intellectually be detached from the material world. Don't engage the senses into the activities that binds him, that creates karma, and gets entangled in the material world. So he, by his power of intelligence, tries to get out of this material world. Whereas Ashtanga Yogi also understand, he also have the proper understanding and proper knowledge. He also wants to be detached from this material world, and he also goes through certain type of process, which is very nicely explained in the 6th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita by Krishna. Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, Nudhyama Niyam, Pranayama Pratyahara, Dhyana Dhamana, Samadhi. So these 8 processes he follows, and it's very, very difficult actually, very hard to go through and achieve the 8 perfections. And what is their aim? Jnana Yogis, they want to be liberated from this material world and merge into Brahman effulgence and wants to be peaceful there, wants to be one with the Lord. So that's their aim. Whereas Ashtanga Yogi, he is personalist. He knows Lord is person, Supreme Lord is person. So not only impersonal Brahmajyoti, which emanates from the Supreme Lord, he is more than that, he knows that. So he wants to meditate on the personality of God and see Him within the heart. That is his process. So by doing a strong yoga process, one can achieve that. So he chooses that path rather than just being alone in Brahman effulgence, no, peaceful. No, he wants to see Lord's form, Lord's beauty. And if he achieves that through that hard process, he can choose whether to merge into that person or keep meditating on that person. He has that option. And if he's lucky enough, if he gets association of devotees, he'll become devotee. And same with the Jnana Yogis. In the process of detaching himself from the material world, if he meets devotee, he can become devotee straight away. So these are the processes of different yogis and their purposes. Talking about bhakti yogis, as I mentioned, as Prabhupada mentioned, they are not interested just in liberation. They are interested in the service of the Lord. That brings real pleasure to them and of course to the Lord. Liberation which Jnana Yogis achieves and Ashtanga Yogi achieves, the eight mystic siddhis, these are given to the devotees just by practicing Bhakti Yoga as a byproduct. You know, they are just given to the yogi, Bhakti Yogi, devotees. They don't have to work separately to achieve that. In Bhagavata Veda, I was reading Gopal Kumar, for example. So he receives mantra from his guru and he very faithfully, very attentively chants that mantra. And you will see from Vrindavan, Bahama Vrindavan, he is starting his bhakti. And from there, he goes to higher and higher planetary system, one after another. And he even goes through the eight layers of this universe, which are composed of different elements. And he reaches to the last page, last covering of this universe. And there, Mukti Devi, Prakriti, Maya Devi is worshipping Supreme Lord. He sees that. And he describes that, you know, that place is so beautiful. All these eight layers actually, they are just not matter. There also there are presiding deities and the devotees and many other associates also assisting the great personalities in worship of presiding deities. So it's not just matter covering the universe. This whole activities are going on in those layers as well. So in the last layer, when he reached, he was about to cross the universe basically, there he meets Prakriti Devi. And Prakriti Devi offers him, you can stay here, it's so nice. And all the facilities you get, you know, no problem. All the requirements, all the needs will be fulfilled. And Gopa Kumar did mention, you know, that place was so beautiful. And he is actually again, he came back after visiting Vaikuntha, he again came back to Vrindavan and he was narrating this to his disciple. So he was mentioning, that place was beautiful. I just felt like I can stay here for a long time. So in other words, he was mentioning that basically Maya Devi was offering, you stay here. And that's practically liberation. But he rejected that. And he went to went outside of the universe and then went to Brahma Jyoti. And in Brahma Jyoti also he experienced the same thing. It was more beautiful than the previous place he'd been to. And Brahma Jyoti was more serene and calm and beautiful. And he felt, again, you know, I can stay here for a long time. But then the mantra he received from his guru, see, and he was faithfully chanting all the time, he would feel that I want to meet that person, Madan Gopal. Where is he? You know, until I meet him, I won't be happy. So he just kept on going on in his journey. And he reaches to Vaikuntha even. And Vaikuntha also he sees many devotees serving Lord Vishnu. And it was just fabulous for him. You know, he just got struck seeing how wonderful the Vaikuntha planet is. And he mentions to his disciple here in Bhama Vrindavan that I cannot describe you what Vaikuntha is like, you know, but still I'll try. And he brings different material objects like sun, moon, flowing river, aroma, this and that, to explain what Vaikuntha is like. And he says, you know, you have to become realized and go to that place. And yourself you see, then only you will understand what Vaikuntha is. I cannot describe by these material words. So there, he has been offered that you have all these things. All Ashtasiddhis also you can have. You can stay here, but you won't have. But still, he was longing to meet Madan Baba, so he didn't stay there. So point is, devotees, bhakti yogis, they automatically get. When he came back from Vaikuntha to Vrindavan, he had all the siddhis, Ashtasiddhis he had. He achieved liberation. He didn't care to stay there. So he achieved, this is the point, he achieved. Devotees achieve liberation and Ashtasiddhis just like that. It's not at all hard, he doesn't have to work for that. But they are not interested. He never showed all these Ashtasiddhis to his disciples or anyone else. I mean, he just kept on continuing chanting Lord's holy name. Now, here in purport, we see in second purport, second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada writes, the loving service is the perfect stage of sense control. The senses are actually active symptoms of life and they cannot be stopped. They can be detached only if there is clear engagement. So why, question comes, why sense control is so essential in practicing any yoga? Why it is so essential? Prabhupada mentions actually in a letter of instruction that without sense control there is no possibility of practicing yoga. That is essential, that is very first requirement of any yogi, to have full sense control. Otherwise there is no question of progress in spiritual life, Prabhupada writes there. Why it is very essential? And we see that conversation between Yama Dutas and Vishnu Dutas in 6th canto, where Ajami's story comes, narration comes. Yama Dutas mentions that practically everyone, every living entity in this material world will see Yamaraj sooner or later. Very emphatically they say that. That no living entity can escape without seeing Yamaraj. For a short time or for a long time, sooner or later they will come. And you see how Vishnu Buddhas defeated them. And in that whole pastime, we'll see Vishnu Buddhas mentions that how Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, they all are inferior to Bhakti Yoga. When Parikshit Maharaj was asking a question to Sukadeva Goswami, so Sukadeva Goswami in 5th canto he narrated all the different hellish planets and how people being fully into karma kanda and engaging their senses in the different sinful activities, how they accumulate these reactions and they end up in hell, they suffer so much. So Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami that how one can be saved from going to hell. And then Sukadeva Goswami answers that by doing prayaschit, because everyone is doing sinful activities. By doing prayaschit for those activities, the sins you have done, one can be saved from going to hell. But Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj didn't like that answer. He says, well, we see in this material world that someone is committing sins and we punish them. But after that, again they commit the same kind of sinful activities. So that punishment equates to prayaschita, basically. Here also we see, people are in jail. But then when they come out, they are again into those same activities they used to do before. So that atonement is actually not the real solution. People will again commit the sinful activities and then again they have to go to hell. So what is the point in doing prayaschita, atonement? So he refused that answer. And he said,
please give me other answer. So then Sukadeva Goswami mentions that that is because of ignorance. If one has proper knowledge, through jnana one can become detached from the sensual activities and one can be free from sinful reaction. They will not engage themselves into those activities, sinful activities again. And he mentions, and that was very, very valid point. Parikshit Maharaj also refused that answer. Because Sukadeva Goswami mentioned, to retain that knowledge, one has to go through tapa, austerity, celibacy, then dan, yam, niyam, all these things you have to maintain, practice in your life. Then only that knowledge will come to help you in the time of need. Mm-hmm. It happens when something going wrong, and then we regret after that. No, why did I do that? The time we need the knowledge to help us, that time itself that knowledge just flies away from our head. Why? Because of lack of austerity, tapa, lack of dan, lack of yam, niyama, all these things are required as per Sukadeva Goswami. Then the knowledge will retain in our consciousness. But then Parikshit Maharaj says, who in this material world, in this Kali Yuga, in this day and age, able to do all these things? And so it's very difficult. So please give some other answer. So like that, he refused even that answer. And that later on, this whole thing is actually coming from the conversation between Vishnu-dutta and Yam-duttas. So Parikshit Maharaj was being tested by Sukadeva Goswami. He purposefully gave the wrong answers, to see whether he is accepting or he is thinking and asking me back or not. So he purposefully answered wrong. And Sukadeva Parikshit Maharaj actually refused. So that's a qualification for a real guru and real disciple that we learn. So then Sukadeva Goswami further inquired, and Parikshit Maharaj further inquired, and Sukadeva Goswami said, Bhakti Yoga. By doing Bhakti Yoga, one can be free from all the sinful reactions immediately. They don't have to see Yamaraj again. They don't have to go to Mahalis planets ever. And then he narrates the story of Ajami. So what happens, the point I brought, that Yam-duta has mentioned, that everyone has to see Yamaraj one day, sooner or later, for a short time or long time. That whole narration actually is very beautiful between Yam-dutas and Vishnu-dutas. So as soon as Yam-dutas came to capture Ajamil, Vishnu-dutas came. Why? Because he chanted Narayan. Oh Narayan, please come. So he was calling actually his son, very dear son, young boy. He wasn't thinking about Lord Narayan. But Vishnu-dutas heard that and came to help him. And then they checked with Yam-dutas, you cannot take him. And the conversation starts. So I'll just briefly go through the point by point and then come to the point where they establish bhakti is the superior to everything. So Vishnu-dutas ask, what is dharma, what is adharma, and what is the pramana? These questions asked. Before that, actually, Yam-dutas asked, who are you? But they didn't bother to even answer them. Here's the quality of great personalities. They don't want to talk good about themselves. They don't want to glorify about themselves. In the end of that leela, when Vishnu-dutas and Yam-dutas concluded, and Yam-dutas went away, Ajamil saw the whole thing. And he was very grateful. He was feeling very grateful to Vishnu-dutas, and he paid obeisance to Vishnu-dutas, and he was about to ask something. Maybe he wanted to thank them and ask them, where are you from, who are you, and thank you. But they didn't bother even to hear that. To get the acknowledgement, to get the glorification also, they didn't wait. They just left. You know, so this is the quality of great devotee. Their whole purpose, their whole interest is to glorify Lord. They don't want to talk about themselves. So, Vishnu Vyas asked the question, what is dharma, what is adharma, and what is the pramana? What is the authority of it? So then Yamaduta say, the Shastra, scriptures are the pramana. And whatever in the scripture mentioned that you don't do this, that is adharma, and you do this, that is dharma. And then Vishnu Vyas asked, okay, then who gave the Shastra? Why someone would accept Shastra as pramana? Then they say, the answer, that Lord Narayan gave. And then they ask, you know, who is Lord Narayan? The Narayan is one who has created everything. So even Yamdutas knew, they had some knowledge, you know, they had some understanding of this whole creation, who is God and this and that, because Yamraj also preaches to them. You know, he also conducts some Bhagavad classes, and you know, all the young Buddhas sits there and listens to them. But in the whole conversation we see they don't have much deeper understanding like the Vishnu Buddhas have. So they say, who has created this whole thing, you know, everything, you know? He is Lord Vishnu. He is Lord Narayan. And then Vishnu Dutas asked, so, and then who decides that he or she has done this simple activities and he is punishable for those things? Who will decide that? And then Vishnu Dutas answered that it is based on their karma. Their good karma or bad karma will decide what kind of punishments they will have to go through. And there are 12 witnesses. There are sun, moon, wind. They all are present in our body as well. On top of that, you know, Yamraj is there. No one can escape from his vigilance. And Supreme Lord, Paramatma, is also sitting in everyone's heart. So all of them, all witnesses are perfect in themselves. But still there are so many of them. You know? And then when soul dies, I mean, sorry, body dies and soul goes to Yamlok. Now all those witnesses present, and there is no second opinion. Everyone presents the same thing. This is what activities they have done, and they are meant for this punishment. So in that conversation, Vishnu Vyas asked. So it appears that, you know, if someone is doing activities, karma, then there is some reaction to that. And then again, you know, they get free, and again they get new body. So karma creates your new body, next body. And when next body is there, you again do some activities, you create more karma, and that same karma will bring you another body. So it's like a cycle, you know, karma and your next birth, again going and going and going. So it's like a circle, you know, how are you going to stop this? Vishnu Vyas asked. It's like a circle, chakra. So then Yamdutas answered that by doing bhakti, by worshipping Lord Narayan, one can break through that chakra, that circle of karma and reaction, activity and reaction, action and reaction. So they knew it. So then Vishnu Vyas glorified. That how come then, you know, you think that worshipping Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, is the proper means to stop this cycle of birth and death? How can you think that, you know, this Ajami was not worshipping Lord Narayan by chanting the holy name? He was. He chanted the holy name. And they said, as soon as he chanted, very first time when his young baby was playing in mother's lap, and he called out, you know, O Narayan, please come to my lap from your mother's lap. At that time itself, his sins were finished. You know, and in time of death also he chanted Lord Narayan's name, and that is service. He is worshipping Lord Narayan. So you are contradicting your own statement. You are saying while worshipping Lord Narayan, one can be freed from all the sins. But here you are to catch him and take him to hell. He has chanted his holy name. And then they glorify the holy name so beautifully. And they got defeated. So here, the understanding of Vishnu Vidas and Yam Vidas, they both are correct. But it's like there is darkness in the room. And Yam Vidas are saying that how we can remove this darkness. So every one of you get one lamp and light that. You know, then darkness will be gone. So that's correct, right? But Vishnu Vidas are saying that when sun appears, you don't need lamps. And everything is gone. All darkness everywhere. Not only in this room, but everywhere else. It's gone. So that was their point. So, just by doing little bhakti, one can be freed from all the sinful activities. These yogis, Ashtanga yogis and Gyan yogis, they go through so many hard process and so many things they have to go through year after year, and even birth after birth, to just to become sinless, so they can be liberated. But for bhakta, just by chanting holy name once, is just achieved. Today morning we sang Hare Krishna, we all are sinless, you know? We have completely eradicated all these sins, we don't have any sins. So we are free. So it's very easy to achieve, but that's not all in all for you to become sinless. This holy name doesn't depend on qualification of the chanter. Even someone is chanting attentively or inattentively, you know. And nevertheless, holy name will have effect on that person. Vishnu Das gives an example, just like the sun or fire, for example. He gives an example of a fire. That fire, that vastu, that thing, that object has, every object has its quality. The fire has quality of burning. If you touch, it will burn. So then, an adult person knows that. Right, if I touch the fire, I'll burn. But the innocent child, for example, may not know that. So do you think that fire will save that child because he doesn't know? No, it will burn, right? So it will act same to an adult who has knowledge and understanding and to that innocent child, both ways. So same way, the holy name also has that guna. Whoever chants, whoever listens the holy name, he will be free from all the sins. That holy name will burn the sins immediately. Whether that person is chanting jokingly or his mind is somewhere else and he is just, you know, murmuring that holy name, still his sins are finished. So amazing, isn't it? That's what Vishnu Das said. But here I am not advocating that we should chant just inattentively. You know, that's not the point. Because in morning we say Bahujangadi Pareshan Kirtanam Tahutana Pai Krishna Pada Premadhan. So our aim is not just to become sinless, but to develop Krishna Prem and to achieve Krishna Prem. That is the purpose. So in the three levels of chanting, Nam Aparad, then Nam Abhas and Shuddhanam. So Nam Abhas can give us liberation immediately. Nam Abhas is just like the chanting the holy name without proper understanding, without full understanding, full glory of the holy name and the Lord. Even someone chants like that, one can achieve liberation. You can become sinless and achieve liberation. But that's not our final aim. Isn't it? As Srila Prabhupada mentioned, that the supreme engagement is engagement of the senses in the service of the Lord. That is the purpose of all the yoga. So for bhakti yogi, that is the purpose, that they want to be engaged in the service of the Lord. So we want to achieve Krishna Prema Dhan. That is our real purpose of chanting. Otherwise, life after life, we chant the holy name, will not achieve. And we may think that, I'm not chanting the Shuddha now, right now, which can award with Krishna Prayamathan. But actually, as per my little understanding, we all can chant Shuddha now, even at this stage. The only difference is, when we are chanting, we have capacity to chant attentively. And if we put full effort in chanting attentively, tears may not flow from our eyes, but that stage, that effort of chanting the holy name nicely, that itself is actually, for us at this stage, is Shuddha. Because we are not cheating. I have given my best to chant the holy name. So for me, at least, that is the Shuddha I am chanting. And it's like a little by little, little sukruti you are gaining. Today if I'm using a phone, for example, for 5 minutes, tomorrow another 10 minutes. So like that, unknowingly, without my knowledge, somewhere someone is registering how many minutes I use this phone, and they are generating bill, end of the month, they will give. Right? So same way, by little by little, we are creating sukruti, we are accumulating the credit, bhakti credit. And the day will come when we'll become saturated with the bhakti. Then even while chanting the holy name, tears will flow from our eyes when we achieve that. So one can, at this stage also, chant very attentively, and that is Shuddha Nam for us. We can achieve that. Without duplicity and without cheating mentality. So then we'll see the effect. The day we chant the holy name very nicely, you'll see, you're a very happy person. Isn't it? And the day you don't chant holy name, you always regret and, your morals, I was able to do it, I was able to chant the holy name, but I didn't do it purposefully. So there was some hypocrisy there. And you're not happy with that. So, for devotees, that is the purpose, to serve the Lord. They do all devotional activities to please the Lord and to please the Vaishnavas, unlike these Jnana Yogis and Bhakti Yogis, who are only interested in detaching themselves from this matter and be liberated. Whether devotees are interested not only just to become liberated from this material entanglement, but to engage their senses, their body, mind and soul in service of Lord. And that brings the pleasure, real pleasure, to everyone, to Lord, to devotees and to themselves. So I conclude here, it's 8:30. If anyone has questions, we can answer.
Why envy is a stumbling block in Shuddha Nam? How envy becomes a stumbling block in Shuddha Nam?
That's the only problem in this material world. Not only to chant the holy name, for everything. In Bhakti Yoga, the reason we are in this material world is because of envy. When Gopakumar was in Vaikuntha, he saw that the living entities, there are different forms existing there also. He saw even monkeys, bees, and different flowers, different birds, and different animals. So here in this material world, we compare. This is low creature, this is high creature. But in Vaikuntha, he didn't see that. Although they were present in living entities, they were present in different kind of body forms. But they all had perfect harmony. And he noticed that the Vaikuntha planet is free of envy. And when the bumblebee is glorifying Lord Vishnu, all other birds stop chirping just to listen to to that bumblebee singing of Purine. You know? So that shows they don't have envy. You know, I'm not better than you. You know, I'm not better singer than you. You know, you are singing so nicely. Let me hear that. Let me glorify that. So he noticed very striking difference between material world and spiritual world. So he said there is no envy in the material world, and they appreciate each and everyone's services, and they don't see externals. Although that monkey is like monkey, you know, and he's acting like monkey, but they don't put him down or look down upon that flame any day. They assist him in serving the Lord Vishnu in form of monkey. So that's the only difference. And as soon as envy comes, all the problems starts in the material world.
How does preaching help us to remove envy from our hearts?
Yes.
What is the question?
Mataji is saying, how does preaching help us removing envy from our heart? So, the glories of the holy name, Lord's name from qualities in pastime, when we sing, chant, speak, it says, as I mentioned earlier, it doesn't depend on the qualification of the person who is chanting. Whether he has envy or not, all other bad qualities he has or not, doesn't matter. As soon as one engages in the devotional service of the Lord, chanting Lord's Naam, Rupa, Mohana, Leela, all the good qualities manifest automatically. One doesn't have to separately endeavor for those things. So even if we analytically may not be able to diagnose and see how does envy goes away from our heart, just by preaching and just by glorifying the Lord, all the good qualities will manifest in ourselves. So that's the simplest answer I can give without dissecting the whole thing.
Thank you.
Yes, for
me. Thank you for the wonderful class. My question is, seeing that many devotees over a period of time, everyone has developed a habit, everyone is chanting, most of the people are devoted to the chanting, but they are not listening to what they're saying. Would that be an offense to the holy name? And over a period of time, what are the implications of that? Like how the one is
chanting inattentively is offense. That's what you're saying?
Is that
offense or not?
Yeah.
Before chanting, after Tulsi Aarti, we recite 10 offenses to the holy name. In that, we say 11th offense is to chant inattentively, right? But actually only 10 offenses are there. That 11th offense, I'm not sure what, who brought that. Of course it is there, it is from Shastra, but it is not considered as an offense. But the root cause of all the offenses, inattentiveness, is considered root cause of all the offenses. It's not mentioning those 10 offenses to the holy name.
The 10th offense is to maintain material attachment. And so if we're chanting but we're contemplating material attachment, that's inattentive chanting. So it's kind of, it's kind of in the 10th offense. Because if we're not attentive to the, we're not giving, or if we maintain material attachments, if we're meditating on things other than
that. Yes, yes.
So that's inattentive.
Yes. So by that, you won't get Krishna praying. You know? So ultimately you haven't pleased Lord Krishna. You haven't pleased the Lord, you know, by chanting inattentively. One can chant for many lifetimes inattentively, but you haven't pleased the Lord actually. And you are still in the material world, as you mentioned. You will remain in this material world, life after life. Yeah. So you take it as an offense or not offense. Ultimately, you are in the material world. You have achieved pure state of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna. So, yeah. That's my understanding. Prabhu, you want to say more?
And keep chanting, you might also be attentive about that.
Yeah. Yeah, just like Nirmal Saranam, this Bhagavatam is meant for persons who are free from envy. You know? Then, what am I doing here? No? Glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam, free from envy. But we glorify Srimad Bhagavatam, then we will become free from envy one day. You know? We will become Nirmal Saranam one day. So although we have that envy, what is the other solution to get free from that envy? Just to read Bhagavatam and glorify Bhagavatam. But then Bhagavatam is meant for a non-envious person. So the process is we read Bhagavatam and become non-envious in one day. The same way. Although you are inattentive right now, in chanting, just keep on chanting. One day you will achieve Namabhas also and Shuddhanam also. That's the only way. It's not that you become dejected, I am chanting inattentive enough, so I don't have capacity to chant Shuddhanam, so I'll just give it up. No, you keep on chanting, one day you will achieve the higher stages also. So most difficult questions will come to you.
If we are not doing the sinful action, the three modes of material nature are binding us, but we don't try to do it, but the three modes of material nature make us do it, then why do we get the reaction?
You are blaming three modes. Is that the meaning? That three modes are actually impelling me to do sinful activities, and because of them actually I am suffering. Is it the question? Actually, three modes are not the cause, the real cause of our suffering. When Brahmana of Avantipur, Avanti Brahmana, in the 11th canto, we read Srimad Bhagavatam. So he, when he became bhakta, when he became devotee, he's contemplating, he's talking, and he was practically going through so much suffering. Everyone in the society rejects him, because previously he was very, very proud and very arrogant Brahmana, and people didn't like him, but now he has become a devotee, so people started to take revenge from him. And he was going through so much hardships, through so much problems every day. And then he was contemplating and he spoke this thing. So one by one he broke down everything, you know. What is the cause of my suffering? Is that karma? Is that my body? Is that other living entities? Is that three modes of nature? Who is actually the cause of my suffering? And then ultimately he comes, his answer was, only me. I am the only one who is actually causing suffering. Whom to blame? He gives one very beautiful example. Sometimes when we eat, our teeth bites our tongue. Have you ever experienced? Yeah? So, whom do you blame? Your tongue or your teeth?
Speed.
So, like that, you know, you cannot blame anyone else. Neither your tongue, neither your teeth. So, same way, our suffering in this material world, you cannot blame anyone else but ourselves. We are the real cause of our suffering. Why? Because we chose to be separated from Krishna and to come here in this material world. So, we chose to be independent. So when you have independence, you have to have responsibility of what you are going to do with that independence. So we are ultimately the cause of our suffering. Is it okay?
Yes. Did Ajamila's son get liberated?
Sorry, say again?
Did Ajamila's son get liberated?
Ajamila's son, Narayan. Bhagavatam doesn't mention about that, so I'm not sure about that. Anyone else? Did Ajamila's son, that young son, Narayan, did he ever get liberated? But we know Ajamila did. After the conversation, he became sinless. But that wasn't the end of his story. He gave up all the material engagement and he went to Haridwar and he engaged himself in Bhakti Yoga. And then he got liberated. That is mentioned in Bhagavatam. So if Narayan, when he grew up, when he engaged in devotional service, he would have got liberated.
And the family members also glorified.
Sorry?
As the Nasimha, they say that pure devotee won't have all his family members.
Yeah, that is also that.
Nitya Narayan also get liberated.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, that aspect is also there. 21 generation of a devotee, past and maybe coming, all 21 generation will be liberated on the family members. Okay? Alright, we'll stop here. It's 8:49 now. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada.